Robert, I have a question for you that I think you know a lot about and probably have a really good perspective on, since really, you know, I don't know, you might have even been the first Alexander teacher on the web. I'm not sure
No.
Really?
No, not the first, no.
Oh.
But among the first.
Yeah, and you were really the first to have that general view that this is going to be, the web's going to be a valuable tool, mm-hmm. and you thought to do this Alexander website, the alexandertechnique.com, that would bring together all different styles of Alexander, all different resources, so there would be one place that they could look up and have mm-hmm. access to many different resources on the technique. Mm-hmm. You knew that way back, I don't know when did you come up with that?
1997 is when, early 97, the site first came on. So it's been 13 years now.
Yes.
That's a long time on the internet.
Internet was going to change things. Right. Now, what's your idea of what will happen with the technique and the internet in the future? Kind of a broader picture.
Yeah, like what's going to happen in the next 10 years. We kind of talked about that before.
But I'm wanting you to use that same kind of successful original idea that you did when you came up with the idea to have this Alexander site, that you knew the internet, you know, you had a good sense this would be a valuable thing to have, and you wanted to make it open to everyone, so you decided you would do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And really, that last phrase of yours, make it open to everyone, that's kind of the key to understanding the internet in general and some of the specific manifestations, like Twitter in particular. That the technique, the internet is built for connectivity and for easy access in terms of gathering information, and for easy access in terms of broadcasting information. So broadcasting could be a website that people look at. The website could have audio and video content. Anybody in the Alexander world who wants to, for not much money, and a little bit of time figuring out how to do it or getting someone to do it for them, which is pretty easy, can become a source of information about the technique, and can find out, can tune into all the other sources. And what that does is, just within the Alexander world, it makes it possible to discuss ideas and ideas about the technique, or ideas about something as mundane as where is there a teacher in this town, or ideas about how to promote the technique. There are all these interconnectivities now that are available, so that it kind of speeds up communication, and it makes it possible to do things like come up with new ideas about the technique and talk about them and test them out, all that kind of stuff. So it has a huge, huge, within the Alexander Technique world, a huge amount of interconnectivity. And of course, it also has this connectivity with everything else on the web that's possible. That suddenly, if someone is looking for information about the technique, it's very easy to find it now. It's very easy to find it. And one of the effects of that, I'm kind of intrigued by, is how that affects the role of professional societies in the Alexander world. Because in the past, before the internet, they had a sort of a monopoly on information, they and books. If you wanted to find a teacher, you wrote to a professional society and got a list of teachers. Well, now nobody does that, hardly anybody. People don't even go on the society's websites. They just go to the main place where all where teachers are listed. And that means that professional societies, in order to continue to function and do the useful things they do, like certification, like overseeing teacher training courses, of providing legitimacy to the Alexander Technique, all very useful functions, they have to a little bit reinvent themselves. And I would say they're all doing that to one extent or another. They were pretty, as a group, they were real slow to get it at the beginning, really slow. But I think most of them now at least realize that they've got to change. They got to make some changes in how they function. So, but in general, the internet has the effect of making it tough to be the authority on the technique. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It people can find information themselves and make their own judgments. And also, it allows for a very direct connection between Alexander teachers and potential students that never really existed before. Because any teacher who's actually serious about teaching and earning a living will have a website, and the website's there for anyone to look at. And if you look at it and you think, boy, I kind of like this teacher and he lives a mile from me, there's the connection. But in the past, it was much more, it was through a third party, like a professional society. Or maybe you saw a flyer in the health food store or something. But this is a very direct connection that you can have with your potential students. And that's a new thing.
Yeah, nowadays, those flyers have been replaced by the real flyers, the tweets.
The tweets.
Well, by the sound of flyers. Instead, it's the sound of flyers.
Right. Well, we've talked about that in a couple of conversations. I mean, Twitter, which is you know, a current manifestation of the web, and probably in a couple of years from now, there'll be something that'll be bigger and better than Twitter. But right now, Twitter is the biggest game in town in terms of making connections, in terms of people coming to you, finding you. Twitter is the way to go, and it's only possible because there's an internet. And do you want to say anything on this topic, or
is
this going to be me spewing mostly?
I have a question. Yeah. Thank you for pausing right at this moment, because I had a question of what you said about Twitter being the way people find you.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Oh, because if
don't
you
they
tweet,
find you just because they search something on the web.
Well,
and
if they come website. Across your tweets, and of course some of your tweets can be links to your website, so or parts of your website, so they'll find out that way if they go. But also, if they see a tweet of yours that seems kind of interesting, they'll likely go to your Twitter homepage and find out who you are. And of course, you will have put a link to your website on that page, and they're very likely to go to that page and say, what is this guy about? So that's how you can help yourself. But of course, on Twitter, you can also help everybody else by tweeting and especially by retweeting and by using keywords. So we've talked about that in other conversations.
Yeah, and I'm also very interested in what you said about the Professional Alexander Societies. Mm-hmm. About them keeping up with the new way locating information
mm-hmm.
about the Alexander technique and locating teachers.
Yeah, well, they have to reinvent themselves if they're going to be useful. They have to. I mean, basically, a professional society has to be useful to its members, or it won't have that many members. And I don't know about I don't know the details of various societies, but I know there are a lot of people who could be in a professional society who have the qualifications, who aren't, because they see no benefit in it. And truth be told, the benefit to an individual teacher is fairly minimal. If you have a good website and you're a good teacher, you're going to get all the students you need. And nobody asks you about your qualifications. Hardly ever comes up. But and if they do, you can just say you qualified from a recognized course, and that would be the end of the conversation in most cases. So there has to be a reason for you to join a society. One reason is you get to go to the AGM and have fun, right? That's a good reason.
Oh, the AGMs are great.
AGMs can be fantastic. And you can learn from other teachers. Another reason is they can help, they can have some oversight of standards of training courses and that sort of thing. And that's a useful thing. And it can give you a little more credibility. Certainly if you're going to be working in a corporate environment, that might be really useful. So there's that. And they do publish lists of teachers, but honestly, today, I mean, it's good they do that. And for example, AMSAT, which is an organization we both belong to, the American Society of Teachers of the Alexander Technique, has a bookstore where you can buy books that are not sold on Amazon, the somewhat more obscure but very important books on the Alexander Technique. So that's a great service they do. But basically, a society has to deliver a service for people to want to be a member. And one of their main functions 20 years ago was kind of a conduit to students, but that function has pretty much disappeared. So they've got to come up with other reasons for people to join. And I have to say that in general, societies have been kind of slow to adapt. They are adapting now. But for a long time, there was a kind of a feeling, it seemed to me, among people who were running the societies and writing stuff, that the internet was this thing that don't want to get too close to. You know, we'll have a website, but we're not going to really get too involved in the web. And I think that has changed now. I think people have gotten that's not doesn't work. And also, the other thing about professional societies, that a little pet peeve of mine, is one of the reasons, for example, that ATI, which is an organization that we are both members of too, I think, Alexander Technique International, which is, I guess you could say, a somewhat more upstart organization, formed in a bit to be an alternative to the AMSAT, one we are members of. One of the reasons they were so phenomenally successful on the internet for the first 10 years of the internet is that they had a very comprehensive website, and they put links to everybody, including all the other professional societies. They didn't go make a big deal of how we're the best. They just said we are, and there are others. And honestly, I think if all of the societies did that, they would help themselves a lot. I think any attempt of a society to kind of make it seem like the only valid, legitimate place to find a teacher falls flat on its face on the web. It just doesn't work. Even if it were true, it doesn't work. And in fact, I don't think it is true. So that's like a mindset that I think needs to change.
That's true. I guess it must, you know, really affect the credibility if someone is searching something and they see they have a number of choices and someone's saying, no, we're the only one. And
it right away raises a flag in most people's mind, I think. Whereas if they just said, hey, we are what we are, and this is what we are, and we talk about it, and there are other societies, and, you know, if you live somewhere where there's not one of our teachers, there might be one of theirs. That would help everybody. I mean, that's really what I think, in general, people should be doing on the web, and certainly to be effective, and that's certainly what Alexander Society should do, I think. I'll probably make some enemies now from this.
Well, I think it goes back to what you were saying before about the societies no longer being the place people go necessarily to look up teachers. I mean, they want someone who's certified, they'll look in the societies for that, but that's not the main. It's now not something where you have to call an 800 number to find out if there's a teacher in your area. You can still do that, but most people look it up on the web.
Exactly.
And because of that, that one function is not as, I mean, it's very useful, but it's not as needed, so they can certainly list everyone, and that would be fine.
Yeah, oh, they do, and that's a very useful service, but
I mean, list everyone as in, you know,
they should list other societies. I think they should list others, and they might say, hey, here's another society. We don't agree with them about some things, but doesn't mean you shouldn't know about it, because if you do that, it actually enhances your own credibility.
Right.
But not doing it, it's kind of not such a great idea. So maybe we should end the conversation on that, do you think?
That sounds fine.
All right.